It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad you've joined us today. Please open your Bibles to John chapter 18. We're going to begin reading with the 11th verse and down through the 27th verse. John chapter 18, verse 11 through 27. While you're opening your Bibles, that you may follow along, please that you will follow with me. Excuse me, I've got a little cold. As you follow along, let's go with these scripture verses. And as you're looking those up, why, please know that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. The mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Also, our email is www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you would like to contact us there, also you will find the Sunday morning message, and the radio programs will be available from that email number as well. So please that you if you desire to, contact us, and we will appreciate that. We know that you're listening. We want to have a good time in studying the Word of God. We need to know that it's the truth, the Word of God, and that's where we stay. We read the precious Word, and then we continue to study verse by verse as we do so. John chapter 18, now, as you have opened your Bibles, please read along with me. Then said Jesus unto Peter, "Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" Then the band of the captain and the officers and the Jews took Jesus and bound him, led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Then Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews, that it may be was expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus unto the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, "Art not thou also one of this man's disciples?" And he saith, "I am not." And the servant and the officer stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. And the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. And Jesus answered him, "I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whether the Jews always resorted, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have told, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said." And when they had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Answerest thou the high priest so?" And Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me?" Then Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. And they therefore said unto him, "Art not thou also one of his disciples?" And he denied it and said, "I am not." And one of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did not I see thee in the garden with him?" And Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin the study today. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to come and study the Word of God, your Word. Guide and lead us that we may know your way and will, that we may listen to it, be obedient to it, and again, follow after your truths, not man's teachings. Today, there's so much out there, and most of it's just philosophy and opinion. It's not the Word, your Word. So please, Lord, help us to stay with that today and look so carefully to it that we may learn, and especially at this time, we're coming so close to the crucifixion and at your death where you died for us. Please, Lord, let us see clearly the death, burial, and resurrection, what you have done for us, and Father, your great love towards us as you sent your Son Jesus to die upon the cross and then was raised from the dead 3 days later, and now is seated upon the right hand of yourself in the heavens, the throne of God. Please, Lord, help us to see your way and will for our lives and be obedient to that again. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to this part of the scripture, and we begin now as we look at the 11th verse, and it says, "And then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath, and the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" We have two things here. We have a cup and we have a sword. One man decided to pick up the sword and fight his way out of it, and another knew that there was something that had to be taken, and Jesus was willing to drink that cup. And to be so thankful. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." You know, the load that was coming, this tremendous suffering that was on its way as Jesus had to face for the load of sin that he carried, the tremendous burden, the terrible load. And then worse than or as bad as that, and of course that one comes with the other, and that is separation from his Father, because his Father could not be any part of sin. And so there was a period of time there that the Lord Jesus was separated from his Father, and the burden of that coming, what a price the Lord Jesus paid. The Scripture talks about this cup. And a cup is used often in the Scripture. There are different cups. I've just listed a couple of them, and then we'll continue with this Scripture area here. But Psalms 23:5 says the cup, calls it a cup of joy. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." A cup of joy. And we need to understand and realize that there is a joy, a wonderful joy, in walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that whatever cup that God the Father gives us will be a cup that is always for our good and to our good. Second one here is Jeremiah chapter 25:15. "Take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it." A cup of anger, a cup of fury. And so we have both sides here, and I wanted you to see that. I just chose two, and then we'll continue. But Psalms 23:5 was the cup of joy, and Jeremiah 25:15 is a cup of fury or a cup of wrath. Now, as we look at this 11th verse here, we find the cup which my Father hath given me, given from his Father's hand. This cup is handed to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's given. You know, Peter here lifts up a sword, not knowing his Father's will, not knowing what God the Father wants, just desiring to protect the Lord Jesus. You know, it's important that we spend time in prayer and time with our Heavenly Father, that we may know his will. Peter didn't. He looked at the circumstances. He looked at the situation that surrounded him, the multitude, as we look at the verses of Scripture here, as we've read through, as they've come to arrest him. We know the mighty army, the stronghold that come to arrest the Lord Jesus. You know, "Why did you send so many? Did not we talk? Have not you seen me? Why do you think you need a great army?" Well, he was afraid that if there had been any opposition that Jesus would have put forward, if there had been any trouble, why then the people would have come to his behalf, to his side, to the Lord Jesus' side, because at that time the public was following, was watching all the miracles and all wonderful acts that the Lord Jesus was performing. And so that's one reason why they waited till this quiet time back in the garden, so that no one else was around to arrest him. But we find that here Peter, instead of knowing the Father's will, he lifted up a sword and cut off this servant of the high priest's ear, and then we, as we read last time we were together, the Lord Jesus healed that ear, and you know, he can make us whole no matter what's wrong or what's missing. He can make us whole. But Peter did. He did what we would do probably. He lifted up this sword to try to fend for himself instead of seeking the Father's will and listening to the Lord Jesus. But Jesus took the cup. The question was here, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Should I not do my Father's will? And that's what's important for us to see. We must do our Father's will. Sometimes it is contrary to what we think should be. Please that you look unto the Lord. You desire His way and desire His will. Psalms chapter 40, verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I delight to do thy will. Now, we need to desire that in our hearts. The Lord Jesus sure did. He was the Son of God. He is God, but he was obedient to his Father, God the Father. Desired to do fully, completely, his Father's will, and he did. So he was very willing to take this cup. I hope that you're willing to take the cup that has been prepared for you, and you know that it is to the good if you'll follow the Lord's will and not man's opinion. So often as people will say things to me, they go on what other people say, other people's opinion, more than they go upon what the Word of God tells us. You know, when years ago, before I had come to this church, why, I knew the Lord's will, and the Lord's will that I come and pastor this church. And yet so many people, and sad to say, many folks that I looked up to, that were born again believers. That was the, they said, you don't want to do that. And so please, don't listen to man. Listen to God. And yes, hopefully there are men of God that you can turn to. Folks that have surrendered their heart and their life to the Lord Jesus, that will not just give you their opinion, but they'll prayerfully come before God and then help you with the decision that can confirm it, that is what God wants you to do. In my case, I have went against everything that most people had told me, and I've never been sorry for that, because I've always wanted to do the Lord's will, and I praise him for the opportunities he has given us with this church and with the radio and other things, that he has opened the door, and the folks that have been saved and are sitting down and serving the Lord. It's wonderful. Accept that cup. The cup was prepared and given to the Lord Jesus by his Father. The Lord Jesus had nothing to fear, no matter what he was going to face, even though he was going to take this burden, this load of sin, tremendous load of sin, and also be separated from his Father. There was nothing that would be given him that he would not be able to bear. And we need to know the same as we look to serve the Lord Jesus and to walk after him. We find now that he goes, is taken bound, according to the 12th verse. Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. They took Jesus and bound him. It's been said that they bound him with such force that the handcuffing his hands so tight that the blood was forced from the fingernails. You know, we look at the Lord Jesus and we see once again the picture of the Lord Jesus hanging on the cross. And I hope that you don't have one of those pictures in your house. I hope that you don't have one of those pictures in your church. Because you see, to begin with, we're to not have that. No images, no drawings, because we do not know what the Lord Jesus looks like. And if you have such a drawing or a picture in your home or in your church, possibly it looks like the Antichrist, maybe. I don't know who it looks like, but it surely isn't the Lord Jesus. No one knows what he looks like. But worse than that is this slight little trickle of blood. If it's a picture of the crucifixion, which I can't imagine why you want the living God nailed to that cross and look at that each and every day, because you see, my God is alive, and my God is with His Father. My Savior is with His Father, the God the Father at the throne of God in heaven. He is not remaining nailed. If you have what people call the crucifix, you know, and there's a cross, and Jesus is upon that cross. No, my Savior is no longer on that cross. My Savior is not in the grave. You know, if you serve another God, if you serve and worship in another religion, as so many of them do, every one of their gods are dead. My God is alive, and He is at the right hand of His Father in heaven. Please that you look to the Lord Jesus and His power. He died upon that cross, and when they bound Him, they bound Him with such force, and they chained Him around His neck, and then they dragged Him away. Did not need to do that. It was the time for Him to go, and if His strength, as we showed and looked in the verses of Scripture here in the sixth verse, and as soon then as they had said unto Him, I am He, they went backward and fell on the ground. Do they not recognize the force and the power of God? Why do they think these chains can do that, and this binding Him is going to be anything if it would be contrary to the will? And yet they did that. They did that to shame Him. And today, why so many do so many things to shame the Lord Jesus. And one of them is this picture. Because if you're looking at a picture, again, that has just trickle of blood from His hands, from His side, from His feet, and down across His head, we know, according to Isaiah, that He was so beaten and so torn up by the time they hung Him to the cross to die, that you couldn't even tell whether He was man or beast. And yet you have a picture that you have a slight little trickle of blood as He hangs on that cross. That's not Him. That's not how He died. He died a most horrible death. And if you had such a picture on your wall as that, you wouldn't have it on your wall, because it would turn your stomach to look upon that, and it should, because of the load, the burden that He carried for us. But just the beating of His body was nothing compared with the load of that sin and the separation from His Father. We find, according to the 12th verse, that they have bound Him and they've dragged Him away. They led Him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Annas is a kind of an ex-high priest. He was probably set aside by the Roman government. Caiaphas is now the high priest. You know, we know, isn't it sad here, is the high priest, that was the place, the position that God had given to a man. Aaron was the first high priest, Moses' brother, and when he was given that position, you know how long that term lasted? You know, and it should be the same way today with the pastors of our churches, with the, you know, as you serve in church, it should not be a term of 1 or 2 or 3 years or 4 years or 5 years. It is a lifetime, and the high priest's position and place was to be till death. It was not to be replaced, but instead of that, why, the Jews had kind of changed their ways a little bit and decided that, you know, had changed the rules. And we can't do that. We can't change God's way and God's rule. Here the high priest was in a position that should have been caring for supervising the giving of the sacrifices, the Day of Atonement, which was a very important day, that they would take the blood of a goat and take that blood in through the courtyard of the temple, on into the temple, on into the Holy of Holies. And when you would do that, then you would never enter there without the blood. You would never enter as a high priest until you had given an offering for yourself. There had been a sacrifice given for yourself, an innocent sacrifice, and every action that God requires should need be fulfilled. Your sins need to be confessed, and then you would take this second sacrifice in for behalf of the people. That's what the high priest would do. He would do it on behalf of the of the Israelites, of the Jews, and he would, anyone that come believing, he would have this opportunity to take this sacrifice in all the way through the holy place unto the Holy of Holies. And instead of that, why, we have here one that didn't care for those things, did not care for the temple. We know that during the short ministry of the Lord Jesus, that twice he entered the temple and he cleaned it out because of the wickedness that was going on in and around the temple. The high priest should have seen to that, should have taken care of that. Instead of that, he was part of the corruption, part of the sin that was going on there. Here we have Annas, and he had no business of anything here. Caiaphas, again, didn't either, because, you know, it was just a position. It was a term for a short period, and then another would come and take their place. No one would serve until that one died, and it was important, and it was the highest position a man could hold. And what an awesome responsibility that they had. Instead of that, why, it was nothing more than just a job, and probably a glorified job for them. Look at what I am. Look at who I am. Annas here, even though Caiaphas was the high priest, I think Annas probably had as much power and strength as anybody else as far as the Jews were concerned. And so he came in and kind of held his own little trial here. He attempted to find something against the Lord Jesus that he could charge him with. And so we find now, as we look at the sword that Peter used, we look at the cup that the Lord Jesus knew he had to take. Peter should have been aware of that cup and not drawn the sword, but he did, because he went for the natural man. We find down, as the band of men arrested the Lord Jesus and bound him, it was not needed at all, but it was just to prove that they were more powerful than God. Well, the Lord Jesus had already made them fall on their backs once. He could have certainly done it again if he'd chose to, but no, this is his time. And so as they proceed now, thinking that they are in complete control, they bring him to Annas first. And as we find this kind of a fake trial there, and it just describes, tells us that this is he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, which is now the high priest. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews, that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And we find the 14th verse there. You can go back to the 11th verse, 11th chapter, and we have something very similar to that. John chapter 11, and we'll read that, 11:44 through 51. John chapter 11, verse 44 through 51. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave claws, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went out their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation should perish, nation perish not. Now, as we looked at this verse of Scripture that we read in verse 14, now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. He is saying something that is true. It is that one man should die for the people. But the sad thing is that he didn't really understand what he was saying. And he knew that this man needed to be put to death. And that's what he was desiring to have and to do, was to put this man to death. And it's sad that he did not accept the Lord Jesus as the Son of God, Savior of the world, the coming Messiah that was reported down through the centuries that was to come. And if he would have been aware of what's going on, he would have bowed down to him and desired to serve him, desired to worship him. Instead of that, why, we have this, that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. There was going to be one put to death, and this was going to be the Lord Jesus. And it was expedient. It was for our own good. And that's true. But instead of Caiaphas knowing really what that was to mean and what that stood for, instead of that, why, he was just desiring that the Lord Jesus be put to death. Get out of my way. Get out of my hair. Quit bothering me. Because here was this man that was gaining power and gaining strength, and the public opinion was so strong towards him that we're going to have to do something with him. And that was clear back in the 11th chapter. And now here in verse 14, he confirms it again. And it just makes that statement that of what we found back in the 11th chapter there in verse 14. And then Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus unto the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. And we look here at these verses of Scripture, and number one, Peter and this other disciple, which we're not sure, you know, you think immediately each time that John speaks of himself, it's whom Jesus loved. And here it just says another disciple. I don't see that John, with being a fisherman as he was, that he would have the kind of power and authority to go in, that he would know anyone special that would allow him to go into the home of this high priest of Caiaphas or Annas, whoever's home this is. It seems like it goes to Annas and then right over to Caiaphas. But as we look at the position, this place of someone that was with Peter, probably was Nicodemus or Joseph of Arimathea. We know that they are close by because they ask for the body of the Lord Jesus, and so after he was crucified. So as we look at this position, this place, we find a man that was where he shouldn't be. And he was, you know, Psalms 1:1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." He is right there. The Lord Jesus told him back in Matthew chapter 26. We can look at that quickly. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." Instead of that, he entered right in. He was standing in a position that was going to be nothing but trouble for him. We need to be careful that we need to not do the same. Jesus told Peter, you know, "You're going to deny me three times." And we have that in Matthew 26 and John chapter 13. "You're going to deny me three times. Please that you, you know," he forewarned him. Instead of that, Peter paid no attention at all. You know, as we walk through this life, we need to understand that Jesus Christ is coming to the cross of Calvary. And he is about to die for all the sins of all the world. We talked about the load. We talked about the burden. We've talked about the suffering, the separation. We've talked about the pictures that maybe you have of the Lord Jesus on the cross. You know, all that was done that you and I can live, because there had to be an offering for our sin. The debt had to be paid, and that debt was paid by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there'd been no life if he'd not come out of the grave. He not only came out of the grave and is victorious, again, he is at the right hand of the Father right now, interceding for us. He presented the blood to his Father, as the high priest would, because he has taken our place and position as high priest. Please, that you look to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today. We didn't get far enough to look at Judas and at Peter, as he did deny him three times. We need to look very carefully and understand that there's a difference between just being caught in your sin and repenting of your sin. I ask today that you realize, by the Holy Spirit touching your heart, that you know that you're a sinner and that you're lost and that you're separated from God. You need today to take care of that sin. You can do it by coming to Jesus, turning to Him. Say, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, for taking my sin away. Please save me." My dear friend, today, what are you going to do about Jesus?